Welcome to the Big Bold Broadcast, episode 11. It's about friggin' time. You make me feel like a natural woman.
Hi, this is Kyle Hebert. I'm a professional voice actor. You can hear me on Cartoon Network as the voice of the narrator on Dragon Ball Z and State Warrant Officer Fallman on the current season of Full Metal Alchemist.
This is Otherworld Steve, anime journalist and webmaster of KyleAver.com, and I've never been so creeped out in my life after hearing that opening song.
Well, it's been a few weeks. If anyone who's been listening to the Big Bald Broadcast knows, there's been a little bit downtime because I have moved to the West Coast. So, yeah, this is truly a bi-coastal experience now. Steve on the East, Kyle on the West, and you at all points in between.
And not to mention a 4-hour difference now in our podcast recording.
Yes, this makes doing a show extremely interesting. It's a lot earlier here in California than it is up on the East Coast.
So, Kyle, I guess the one thing that a lot of people are asking themselves now that we're back on the air is, how did your trip to L.A. go?
Actually, it went without incident. I'm surprised because, you know, you usually jinx things by telling everyone what you're going to do. But surprisingly, no, everything worked well. You know, my dad, bless his heart and soul, he's like the big superhero right now because he made the drive. We hooked my car up to the back of a Penske truck because Penske was cheaper than U-Haul. And I was all set to trade off with him, you know, doing driving. You know, like you drive for 6 hours, I drive for 6 hours. And we got there in 2 days, but he insisted on making the drive all by himself. So quite the trooper there. And then we unload the truck. It took about 6 hours with just me and him unloading the truck into my new apartment in Sherman Oaks. Things are kind of slow gig-wise right now. I've recorded on one show for New Generation Pictures. And Mermaid Forest, which is the first thing I recorded out here, that has come out. Volume 2 that has me on it. My first LA project. And, yeah, I have touched base with some industry folks, and I'm going to be starting radio talk show producer gig pretty soon. And I've touched base with an agent who liked my demo from a few months back. Now that I'm here in town for good, maybe I'll actually be considered for representation. That would be cool. What's up in Steve world?
Well, again, the reason why the podcast became rather sporadic were not only because of your move, but because of a change in my lifestyle. After a 14-year hiatus from high school, I decided to go ahead and pursue a college degree. And as some of you know, I work the graveyard shift in my regular job. So it's been kind of an adjusting phase to get used to working all night long and then going to school during the day. But it's so far been a very positive experience for me. And I think now that we're both getting a little more settled, we might just see some regular podcasts.
I want to start off with, of course, some Serenity news because, you know, I've been talking about that for months on end, being a Firefly fan. The movie, of course, is out in theaters right now. It made number 2 last week on its debut. Of course, it grossed only $10 million, which is not a lot of money. I mean, the movie had a $40 million budget, and a Universal exec supposedly say that the future of the franchise kind of hinges upon its second weekend take. So by the time you guys hear this podcast, you know, please go see Serenity and make it number 1 so we'll get sequels. Yes, it's a purely selfish endeavor on my part, but there's a lot of brown coats, as the fans have deemed themselves. You know, kind of like Trekkies, except in, you know, you're a Firefly fan instead of Star Trek, so there's that. And the good boys and girls at Universal Pictures have officially put the first 9 minutes of the movie, basically the opening scene, online. And you can check that out if you have any interest to see. It's like, what is this Serenity crap that Kyle keeps talking about? Well, if you want to check out the opening scene, there's a link on my website, and we'll also see that link on the show notes page for the bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. So please check it out.
Now for my 2 cents. First, I'm only compelled, you know, I need to know the answer to this. what in the heck is a brown coat? And why are Serenity of Firefly fans dubbed brown coats?
Okay, this goes back to the show in which, well, the captain, I guess you could call him the main character, Captain Malcolm Reynolds, well, he wears a brown coat. And the reason he wears a brown coat is that what's basically kind of the good guys, the rebels, to make a Star Wars reference. The rebels against the Alliance, which are, you know, the Empire in Star Wars. You have the universe, which is described at the beginning of Serenity. You don't have to have seen Firefly at all. You can go in completely cold, and the universe will be described to you and set up within minutes. It actually gets set up in the opening scene. If you watch the opening 9 minutes that are online, you'll learn everything you basically need to know to at least get through the movie. The particulars, of course, you learn by watching the show Firefly. But basically, the rebels were defeated by the Alliance, this big brother type of invasive government agency. And, yeah, so Captain Malcolm Reynolds is considered a brown coat. He still wears his coat, even though they lost. If you want to make a Civil War reference, the brown coats are the South. And they claim to rise again. Yeah, there you go. Me being from Texas, you being from the North. South will rise again. So there you go. Brown is not a reference to manure. It actually has some story significance there.
I will swallow my pride and say this. A couple weeks ago, I was at work. It was around 3, 4 a.m., randomly zoning out, flipping through the channels. And this movie trailer came on, and I was watching it. And I said to myself, wow, this movie seems to have some action and a good degree of comedy interjected in there. And boy, to my surprise, when the title came up and it said Serenity. So I have to admit, even me, you know, somebody who's made a lot of fun of that franchise, it did tweak my interest. Probably not something I'll go out and see in theaters. Might bit torrent it, but...
Ooh. Well, hopefully, Steve, you'll take the time to watch the streaming 9-minute opening scene and then make your decision from there, because I guess the rumor is, and maybe by the time this is playing on everyone's MP3 player, Universal will have admitted the release date, which is rumored to be December 20th for a special edition DVD of Serenity. So fans have something to look forward to before Christmas.
I don't know if you caught this, Kyle. I'm still trying to make sense of all this. Our good buddy, Nicolas Cage, you know, Mr. Ghost Rider.
Uh-huh.
Seems that him and his wife, Alice, have had a child, baby boy, and the Associated Press, along with virtually every single news outlet out there, is really having a blast with what Mr. Cage has decided to name his son. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Nicolas Cage and his wife, Alice, have named their son Kal-El. Those of you out there who are not comic book fans, Kal-El is the real name of Superman. So, I mean, I'm all for being a comic boy geek, but I think you kind of cross that line when you're naming your son after the last son of Krypton.
Yeah, that is true. Although this kind of harkens back to about a year or two ago, back when I was living in Dallas, they have this show called the Sci-Fi Toy Expo. And one of the things was they were auctioning off Nicolas Cage's comic book collection. So Nick Cage is apparently a big comic book, or was a big comic book geek. Now, I don't know how much it ended up selling for. I don't know what he had in his collection, but I thought it was pretty interesting that a big old movie star like him had some sort of connection, or at least a former connection, to fandom.
Sounds to me like he's still quite the geeky fanboy.
I think so. If you're going to name your kid after that, I mean...
I just feel really bad for the kid, you know. I can just imagine what going to school is going to be like with a name like Kal-El.
That's true. But then again, I think Gwyneth Paltrow's kid is named Apple. What would you name your kid if you had a kid, Steve?
Kid. It would make another... Come here, kid. Hey, quit that, kid.
Not going to name it Stay, just confuse it. Come here, Stay. Come here, Stay.
I had a really good friend who had a pet rat named Monkey, and he had a fish named Rat. Kind of mix it up a little bit, you know?
Oh, too much time on people's hands, I guess.
Name your kid Flower Pot. I don't know.
Now, you know, if you dig around out there, considering that some people think that being a Jedi is an official religion, there probably are a few kids named after Jedis or Star Wars characters.
2 years ago, when England did their national census, you know, something like 31% of the population wrote down Jedi as their religion.
I don't know. Does that mean that they're serious, or were they just trying to just pull a fast one on the census board?
Well, if you want to be technical, in order to be officially declared a religion by United States Constitution standards, all you need are three people. You need a treasurer, and I forget what the other two people are. But you only need three people who share in the belief and stand behind the creed. So, realistically, you, me, and pull one more person in, and we could establish the official Jedi religion. And I think it would all help us, you know, very much so in terms of like tax-exempt status.
Hey, I think you're onto something. Dude, we've got to start our own religion.
It might help, too, if you get pulled over for speeding. Excuse me, sir, and you'd be like, no, reverend.
This just indirectly reminded me that, you know, the last time we did a show, which was, granted, almost a month ago, we put a contest out there for everyone who listens to this show to come up with a 10-second intro song for the Big Ball broadcast. And I have to say, with much disappointment, that not one single person has come forward with any ideas, suggestions, or full-blown lyrics or music or anything. No phone calls, no emails, nada.
I really can't comment without swearing. You know, it just gets me enraged that people would not take advantage of such a rocking opportunity.
I know, because, you know, basically for a show that's distributed on iTunes, you know, hey, you never know. The show may be featured on the main page one day, and everyone who listens to podcasts could hear your song. But, oh well, I guess no one has any interest in that.
You know what, Kat? I'm going to be spur of the moment right here. I'm just going to throw this out.
Go ahead.
If we get some entries for the next couple of weeks for this contest, when we decide the winner, not only will the winner get to hear their song played at the beginning of each and every Big Ball broadcast, but I'll also send the winner from my personal collection a Fullmetal Alchemist mini poster signed by the voice of Edward Elric, Mr. Vic Mignogna, and just to make sure we get some entries, I'll send you also a LR poster licensed by Royalty signed by the Japanese director and producer.
Look at that. Look at that swag. Now you have real motivation to put your creative juices to work, people, okay? Once again, the contest is to come up with about a 10-second intro. It could be anything, any sort of instrumentation. It could be a cappella. If you have no access to music or anything, that's okay. It could just be you singing. Send your MP3 recordings to thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Or you can also leave it on our listener line, which is 818-574-3607.
And just to clarify, Kyle and I, although, you know, we're really geeky technophiles and audiophiles, we're not looking for perfection. You know, we don't expect you to have $10,000 in sound gear and you're going to send us this professional quality product. We really want to hear something original, something catchy, something, you know, that really helps to embody the sentiment behind this podcast. So don't feel that, you know, if you don't have a $1,000 microphone and digital editing software, that we're not going to consider your entry. We want you all to send it in. Even if it's just you singing on the phone on the listener line, just please get those entries in.
That's right, because bottom line, you know, this show has no budget. Why should you? So don't worry about it. It's all good. We're all just about having fun here on the Big Ball broadcast. Apparently, Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson has been brought on board to be executive producer on the Halo movie, which is coming out in 2007. And this is a huge announcement that I'm sure fans are breathing a collective sigh of relief that some quality will be attached to this adaptation.
Now, I'm not an Xbox fan. I don't own one. I'm not about to go out and pick up a 360, but I will say that's big freaking news.
You look at Doom coming out and just roll your eyes. Name one great video game movie. You can't.
Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
Oh, come on. John Leguizamo as Luigi. Yeah. Who could possibly ever top a role like that?
Bob Hoskins, yeah. Yeah, I know. You're right. You're right.
No, it is true. And what's really surprising is that the last 3 or 4 years, the video game market has been taking in more money in the U.S. than the music recording industry and the motion picture industry combined. So it's about time that you see some big-name talent involved in, you know, a realm that's making literally, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars a year. The Halo movie is being made to be released at the same time as the next installment of the game. So, I mean, it's really a win-win situation for the Halo fans out there.
Pretty safe to assume that you'll get Weta Digital, the effects team from New Zealand, who also worked on the Lord of the Rings trilogy, to really just blow everyone away with some the special effects for the movie. So I'm pretty excited, at least in that respect.
You know, I actually had some information about that.
Do you?
Somewhere.
Dig around on your PC, dude.
I am.
The Complete Recordings, Fellowship of the Ring, is due out on November 22nd, a compilation of the soundtracks. But the big news about this is that there'll be a bonus DVD of the entire score in 5.1. So anyone and their dog who has a surround sound will definitely want to get their hands on this, because that's just a fantastic score by Howard Shore, and it deserves, oh, that rhymed, and it deserves to be heard in 5.1.
I'm still a little confused now. Now, you're saying it's the soundtrack that's being released in 5.1?
It is the soundtrack with a bonus DVD where the soundtrack will be in 5.1.
So is that DVD audio?
The info I got, which I believe is from the Digital Bits, I'm assuming it's just a regular DVD.
Okay, I dug and I found.
Okay. More Halo news?
Yes. It seems that Peter Jackson and Weta are going to be using a program called Massive, M-A-S-S-I-V-E, and it's an animation tool that was created by Weta Digital that helped to render the massive battle sequences in Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You know, they're going to use that same engine to digitally create just massive, massive battles, you know, kind of like the Star Wars Episode III experience, where you're going to have to watch the movie 3, 4, 5 times just to, you know, realize the scope of these battles that are going on.
And you mentioned Star Wars. I was just on the Digital Bits, and I read a glowing review for Revenge of the Sith. It says it will be the reference disc right now, just by and large. The picture and sound quality are just going to blow everyone away.
And I can say that it's been confirmed that the first of the quote-unquote premiums has been announced. If you buy the disc, Star Wars Episode III, at Walmart, it'll come with a bonus disc with, I don't have the information up on my computer, but from memory I can tell you it's a 60-minute special, and it examines the legacy of the Skywalkers from Anakin to Luke and Leia. And it's a story told by R2-D2 and C-3PO. Right now, they're the first retailer to announce a premium with the disc, and it'll be bundled as a 2-pack. So, right now, reserve it at Walmart until we hear something about Best Buy or Circuit City or somebody else.
Right, and I'm sure they all step in with something, either, you know, trading cards or, you know, more money off this, that, and the other. And yeah, it makes it kind of hard sometimes. It's like, where do you want to pick up the movie based on the premium? Or do you want to just be a total fanboy and just buy 6 copies of the movie?
This is kind of a warning for everybody out there. If you bought the trilogy on DVD not too long ago, you noticed it came with a 4th disc that had awesome, awesome documentary. It's a great documentary that came in that bonus disc. When Star Wars Episode III comes out on DVD, they're going to be re-releasing the trilogy on DVD, and this new release does not come with the bonus disc. It is just movies 4, 5, and 6. I've also heard that episodes 1, 2, and 3 are also going to be available in the box set. If you didn't pick up the set earlier, and if you want that extra bonus disc, do not pick up this new release. Make sure you go out and find the 4-disc release that was released to retailers before episode 3 came out. Because if you go out and buy the new box, you're only going to get the movies. You're not going to get that extra content DVD in there.
Also, consumers beware, this is not the big, big, big box set that George Lucas is promising. This is just a kind of a cash cow for 20th Century Fox and Lucasfilm to just package you know, both trilogies together in a convenient package.
Yeah, as a reminder, Lucas has already said that at this point his focus is going to be on working on the 3D releases of the movies. Right now we know it's confirmed for the classic trilogy. We don't know if the 3D treatment will be given to the prequel trilogy. And then, God willing, ILM will be working on the uber ultimate release of the Star Wars 6 discs. And yeah, at that point, it's probably going to be either Blu-ray or HD, whatever wins out in that battle. I don't foresee it as being a DVD release, but that's just my speculation.
That's right. And in some other DVD news, if you held out on Sin City, hold out for just a few more months, because the recut, extended and unrated version, double disc loaded with extras, including commentary, cutscenes, and an entire graphic novel, will come out in a very, very cool package on December 13th. And Batman fans, of course, Batman Begins, a fantastic relaunching of the franchise, coming out here in just a few weeks, October 18th.
In anime DVD news, Funimation has announced that they're going to be releasing the 3-disc box set of Dragon Ball movies. Not Dragon Ball Z, not Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball. And the set will include Movie 2, Sleeping Princess and Devil's Castle, Movie 3, Mystical Adventure, and Movie 4, Path to Power. Right Stuff Right Now has the price listed as $22.49, and if you don't have those yet, sounds like a good box to pick up.
Looks like the big boys and girls at Apple have a big announcement this week, and there's been a lot of speculation. It's been pretty much confirmed that they're going to announce their new Power Max, but what everyone is really dying to find out, the next generation iPod or the video iPod. A lot of people are really anticipating that, because there are a lot of media players out there that already do video, but of course Apple has, you know, to raise the stakes with their ultimate MP3 player there, and you've seen, probably if you look around online, you've seen pictures about and photoshopped images of things and possible designs, but from everything I'm hearing, it looks like the video iPod won't be announced at this particular press release.
I have some PSP news.
Hey, hit me.
Ow! You and I talked a while about the homebrew apps, the homebrew applications that work on the PSP if you have it set to version 1.5. And then Sony released the US version 2.0, which everybody thought would be hack-proof and you wouldn't be able to run any of the homebrew apps on it. And that was cracked. So you could run the homebrew apps on the version 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems Sony is releasing a new update for the PSP, 2.01, and it's supposed to negate all the homebrew apps without giving you any new features or content for your PSP. So again, just, you know, a word of warning for people out there, if you want to continue to run these homebrew apps, again, you're talking about running game emulators to play, like, Nintendo games or original PlayStation games, things of that nature on your PSP. Don't upgrade to the new 2.01 until, you know, we hear if it's hacked or not. But in more legitimate news, Dattel, I believe, D-A-T-E-L, has announced that they're releasing a 4-gigabyte hard drive for the PSP, and the drive apparently replaces the memory stick slot, essentially doubling the storage capacity of the PSP, and the hard drive bundle will include the company's X2 battery and the Get Connected Media Cable, and media software. Now, here's, like, the bummer news. The package is expected to ship on October 20th at a price of around $250 U.S.
Oh, yeah. That's
kind of the price of the PSP bundle pack.
Dude, it's just not that important to me. It's just not.
I mean, the idea of having a 4-gig drive is really interesting, and the idea of having a much longer battery life, again, very interesting. Is it worth a $250 price tag? Probably not with the new consoles on the horizon. You know, if you're going to drop $250, save it for a PS3 or a Nintendo Revolution.
Do you really need 4 gigs?
For the $250, I don't think so. You know, if you dig around online enough, you'll find out that some people have come up with some very ingenious cracks on how to use other memory cards on the PSP, if you're willing to, you know, open it up and plug in this peripheral and have this wire hanging out or whatever. So, I mean, there are ways to expand the memory of your PSP without dropping that kind of coin. And bottom line too is, if you have $250 to spare, please send it to me and Kyle. You know, don't waste your money on a peripheral like that.
Yeah, don't be doing that. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there already software and even online applications that, you know, if you're able to upload movies and do file transfers, why can't you just transfer your game saves to your PC instead of buying an all-new hard drive?
That is correct. Exactly.
You know, portability being the main selling point of the PSP, you know, basically you're hooking together something that's probably, I don't know if the images of the hard drive were shown or not, but, I mean, you're basically having to hook up one portable device to another, then suddenly everything's bulky. What, are you going to walk around with a backpack of your portable game system? I mean, how's that going to work?
I went out and got a PSP when they launched, and while the game graphics look great, and yes, it is an MP3 player, and yes, you can play movies on it, I have to admit I was kind of disappointed because, you know, if you do the Sony update, you get this web browser with, you know, Wi-Fi connectability, but there's no keyboard. So if you want a keyboard connected to it, I'm assuming, you know, probably by Christmas time you're going to hear about USB keyboards coming out. And now, you know, again, what you just said, plugging in all these devices, how portable is it going to be with all these extensions hanging off of it? It's not going to be very portable at all. And if you're going to drop that kind of money, you're kind of better off just staying home playing your PlayStation 2.
Pretty much. Because, yeah, the keyboard thing, yeah, the browser is awesome to have on the PSP, no doubt. But they're literally going to have to just make something either like a Trio-sized or a Sidekick-sized sort of keyboard that I guess would just plug into it or add on to it. And, you know, you got to keep things small if you want to keep it portable. I mean, it just looks silly hooking up a full-size USB keyboard to a little PSP just so you can type a URL or an email or whatnot.
You know, or take a note from Nintendo and make it touchscreen compatible and then use a stylus to touch the keys.
Exactly.
But, you know, I won't call it a failure yet. I'll just say that it certainly didn't live up to the hype and hysteria that Sony initially led us all to believe would be true.
Yeah. If you ask me, I think things are moving too fast. I don't know. All the systems on the horizon and all that. I mean, me being an Xbox owner, I'm actually not that jazzed about a 360 because of the price point on all the accessories. Everything to get it up and off the ground, you're going to walk out of the store spending $500, $600, $700, $800, and that's not even including a game. And, you know, I got to watch my budget now because I just moved to L.A., and, you know, I'm going to be on the college diet for a while, eating ramen 3 times a day. So, you know, why blow that kind of money on a game system? You have to buy the one with the hard drive for it to be backwards compatible. And I've also heard that the PS3, the actual U.S. release, may be the fall, and maybe the spring was just in reference to the Japanese release. Do you have any info on that, Steve?
But I did hear a rumor today regarding the Nintendo Revolution, and the rumor that's getting pretty persistent now, really flying around cyberspace, is that Nintendo may just cut everybody's throat and release the new system at $99.
Now that would be incredible. I mean, that would just blow away everybody. Now, I don't know what the Revolution has, you know, in terms of hardware and what it has to compete with the PS3 and the 360, but
the three consoles that are on the market right now, the Xbox, the PlayStation 2, and the Nintendo GameCube, the GameCube is the only console that's profiting from sales. Sony and Microsoft are actually losing money every time they sell a console. And I believe Microsoft released their press release last week or 2 weeks ago about how last fiscal year alone they lost over $4 million on sales of the Xbox. So Nintendo's already at an advantage. What the Revolution's going to offer is an online file download system where you can download virtually every single game in Nintendo's library, back to the very first, you know, NES, right up through the GameCube. It's a pay service, and nobody's really commented on what it's going to cost yet. Right. But, you know, a cheap console with an access to the largest gaming library out there worldwide, you know, it's really not anything to cough at.
No, I think it would be a brilliant move on their part.
And I don't know where it's located, and I'll probably go ahead and find this link eventually and put it in the show notes. But there is a video out there that shows off the new Nintendo wireless controller. And it's really a phenomenal thing to see. It's unlike any controller on the market right now. Really brings a new depth to gaming interactivity. So I'll try my best to find that link over to that video and get that posted in the show notes. And you're going to see that the Nintendo revolution is certainly the most revolutionary of all the consoles coming out. And another PSP news, just to sneak this in real quick. Some of you know I'm part of Sony's PlayStation Underground, and I've been beta testing for Sony for the last year and a half or so, and right now I'm currently beta testing SOCOM Navy SEALs on the PSP, and it's been a pretty wild experience, pretty cool game. From what I'm telling from this beta test, sure, go ahead and pick this bad boy up, give it a spin when it comes out.
So you've done the whole Wi-Fi thing and like played anyone online, or?
Yes, actually this is an online-only beta. They're testing their servers and different online function abilities. I do not have a wireless connection here, but my parents do. So needless to say, they've seen me a little more frequently the last couple of weeks than they normally would.
Mom, Dad, great to see you. Ka-chunk, door slams.
Pretty much 3 hours later. Gotta go. Gotta get home to dinner. See you guys later.
And one more interesting story from completely the left field.
Kyle, you know, you're out in L.A., and I'm sure you like to have some extra pocket money. Have you ever considered growing your own gold?
I've heard about digging for it, but not growing it.
Well, it seems now that the next gold rush won't have prospectors running to the hills, but maybe to the cornfields. At least that's the hope of one dude over in New Zealand that set up his own company here. And he's been doing trials since 2003 in the mines outside of Brazil. And I'll give you just a real quick rundown on how this works, how gold farming, as they dub it, works. You plant either corn, canola, or mustard in regions where mines may have existed or where heavy mineral deposits like gold exist. And as your crops mature, you spray it with some low levels of this kind of relatively toxic chemical called ammonium thiocyanate. And after a few days, the leaves are going to turn slightly brown. And then you harvest up your plants, and you incinerate them in a furnace at 923 degrees, and then the ash can be converted into gold. Now, apparently what happens is by growing these specific crops and then by applying this chemical to the soil, the gold that's in the soil will actually leach up through the root system of the plants. And then when you incinerate them, you'll separate the gold from the ash. So that's really interesting. And to follow that up on something that's relatively related, scientists are actually making diamonds for the first time. And these are real ones. We're not talking cubic zirconia or anything. We're talking making real man-made diamonds. And this company, it's Apollo, during this year, they expect to grow a diamond by 2 carats. By the end of 2005, they expect to grow a diamond as big as 10 carats. And again, you know, I have to reiterate, these are real diamonds, not man-made knockoffs.
If it makes the creation of a diamond that more common, then I guess wedding rings will be considerably less expensive.
Well, you could probably buy a 200-carat diamond for the price of a 1 carat nowadays.
I'm sad to say there's no fields in Los Angeles besides the ones that were recently burned up by the wildfires where I could have access to actually grow corn or mustard and even begin that process. I don't even think I have the aptitude for it or the patience.
Yes, Kyle Hebert and patience do not necessarily go together.
No, they don't. I want to be a movie star now.
Anybody in the Hollywood area that's listening to this podcast, you know, take Kyle's please seriously.
Yeah, cast me in something. I don't care, okay? Just put me to work. I need money. Rent's coming up soon. So we're going to wrap up episode 11 here. And with some contact info once again, in case you missed it last time, you can email us at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. You can also call us and leave your comments, questions, suggestions, and, of course, your theme song suggestions at 818-574-5. 3607. Keep in mind that is only a voicemail line. You're not going to get a live human answering the phone, but leave your messages. And again, the contest is going on right now for the Big Ball Broadcast theme song. Give us 10 seconds. It could be anything. A cappella with music, instrumentation. Sky's the limit, guys, and production value is not a necessity on that. Also, make sure you subscribe and stay subscribed to the show via iTunes.
Forgive our less professionalism than normal. It's been a few weeks since Kyle and I have done that. You know, be patient with us, and we'll get back into the flow of things. And the other thing is, since we've been off the air for a few weeks, Full Metal Alchemist Season 2 is currently airing on Cartoon Network. I can't speak highly enough about that show. It is the greatest thing that's ever happened to anime. And if you love Season 1, it's nothing compared to the events that'll blow your socks off in Season 2. So definitely tune into that. New episodes are airing every Saturday.
This week is pretty much the fourth anniversary of my website, thanks to
sign off without mentioning that?
Exactly.
Four years of KyleLaber.com.
That's right. It's gone through a lot of time and changes. A lot of people have come and gone and moved on, and some people are even still with us via the forum and live journal and all that. So thanks to everyone who has been there and helped supported the website and myself and my projects. And of course, a big high five to you, Steve, for making the site in the first place. I'm really, really thankful to you and Becca the Red for the continued support from behind the scenes and everything.
And with this being the fourth anniversary, if I feel saucy, maybe I'll debut a new site layout.
Ooh.
But yeah, if you haven't yet, you know, if you haven't been over to check out the site, go over, check it out. It's KyleHebert.com, Kyle, HEBERT.com. Go over to the message board, sign up. We're always looking to get new people involved over there. Got a great group of people over there. And here's hoping for 4 more years.
That's right. Keep the feedback flowing, guys. Email, over the phone, whatnot. We're here for you. So the Big Ball Broadcast will return in the very near future with episode 12. Thanks for downloading. Until next time, this is Kyle.
This is Otherworld Steve.
See ya!